This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/morningstream and enter the promo code MORNINGSTREAM. Terms and conditions apply.
Coming up on TMS, more like Expensive Kingdom.
How strange is strange?
Germany is crazy.
Lady F-bombs are the bomb.
Where did my scrotum frog go?
Ribbit. Colorado has toilet streets.
Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
We leave in the morning for an unknown destination. I write with no so-called premonitions. As a matter of fact, I'm writing this in a pleasant little bar on the outskirts. I've ordered two daiquiris, one for you and one for me. I miss you, darling. I think about you all the time. I wish things were different.
Sounds crooked to me.
The Morning Stream. Oh, the new health and fitness section? I'm not sure, but I'll find out if I could use your phone.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to TMS. It's TMS for Monday, the 7th of November, is that right? Yeah, 7th of November, 2016. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ebbett, everybody. Brian Ebbett.
Hello.
Hello. I just saw you at BlizzCon. How are you?
I'm good. I'm still good. Whoops. Still good from seeing you. I'm still good.
Now, I looked at your face during that Fletcher read, and you didn't make a single expression, and I'm surprised by it. Did you hear what he said? Did you hear the Fletcher read?
I didn't. I was, like, adjusting songs for the show tomorrow.
I'm going to play it for you.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
I'm going to play it again. Check this out.
The Morning Stream. Oh, the new health and fitness section? I'm not sure, but I'll find out if I could use your phone.
There you go, see?
Fresh. Is that a new one?
Yeah, fresh and new.
We've played that one before.
Nah, fresh and new, right off the press there.
Right out of, wow.
It was a nice thing to come home to. That's hilarious. I came home with this big giant gift email full of new Fletcher readings that I did not request nor expect, and they're all awesome. And thank you, Scott Fletcher, once again. There's like 15 new ones. So
listen, on my sticky note right here, it says, pay attention when Scott Johnson talks.
Yeah.
It's a little reminder to me.
You don't really have a sticky note that says
no,
that.
No, I really
don't. All right, that's good, because my sticky note says, don't forget to poo before the show starts.
I've apparently lost the ones that say, pay attention when Justin Robert Young talks and pay attention when Wendy talks. And apparently now I need to make one that says, pay attention when Scott Fletcher talks.
I like it when they go, when, like, we'll be in the middle of a Jerry thing.
Yeah.
And then Jerry will suddenly go, Brian Ebbett, you know what I mean when I'm saying, burp, burp. And then you'll go, shit.
I came clean last time because I was really talking to the dentist about rescheduling my appointment.
That's true. Oh, did you go yet? You're not done yet.
Oh, tomorrow at noon.
So we're okay on time. Everything's
fine.
Noon. All right. Normal week of shows. Yeah.
It's election day, so who knows, right? I mean, we could decide we're just going to make TMS an all-day thing and cover the election coverage.
Yeah, as you know, vote with your molars. That's actually true. We may be looking at the long haul tomorrow. I want everyone at home listening live to bring your cots and some warm soup.
A couple bottles of water.
It's like camping out for a video game console release. So
that's right. It's just in. Ohio's results are in.
That's a good jury impression. It's not bad at all. Anyway, we'll get to all that tomorrow. It's a big week for that.
Plenty of time for that crap.
I'll tell you what, leaving Wednesday and being gone and utterly swamped for 4 days was nice because I didn't have to think about the election at all.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, right. Didn't even come up. And it's funny how it didn't even come up at BlizzCon. I would have put money on the fact that we were going to see a Garrosh Hellscream wearing a suit and some goofy hair that says "Make Azeroth Great Again" or "I'm going to build a wall" or something like that. I would have put money on it.
I would have too, but I wonder. I'm thinking like the saturation point of the negativity by this entire election got so bad that even that made cosplayers second guess and not do it. You know,
maybe.
Like, just so much of this stuff is just so up in our face all the time.
It, you know, the fact that we saw so many at Dragon Con 2 years ago when I was there, seeing the Imperator Joe Trump. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what it was like this last Dragon Con, but did I say Dragon Con or BlizzCon? I meant Dragon Con.
Yeah, you said Dragon Con, you got it.
For Imperator Joe, yeah. But
you meant Morton Joe, but I got you.
I'm sorry, Morton Joe. See, just seeing if you're on your toes.
Joe Con.
That's a sticky note I have here. Keep Johnson on his toes about Mad Max Fury Road.
Atlanta and Morton Con. That's the guy. it was good. I like that. I liked not having to hear about it, talk about it, think about it. All we had to think about were video games and friends and stuff, and it was great. And thank you, everybody, for your kind words about the DirecTV spot I did. It was super cool. Had I known they were going to put it on the Jumbotron across the main stage and everywhere else, I would have been more nervous.
Yeah, good thing they didn't tell you, right?
Yeah, because I didn't know. I just went up there thinking, home subscribers, I do this every day. This is no big deal. I'll sit and answer questions. Let's do it. And I already know. I knew Alex and I know Michelle, so that wasn't hard. There wasn't like some kind of weird, you know, people barrier going on. So to me, it was like, oh, piece of cake. And then I hear after, dude, you're up on the giant screens that they do everything on everywhere in the entire freaking building and the press room. I'm like, holy shit. You didn't tell me that. I have to walk around these people. So then I went up to the press room after, and I'm just walking through there to get some food. And people are going, that's a guy that was just on the thing. That's a guy that's just on the thing. I'm like, shit, this isn't what I asked. This is what I signed up for.
That's awesome.
No, it was cool, but it freaked me out. It made me just like post nervous after the thing was over. But it went good. And anyway, thanks for all that. And also, thanks everybody who came out, who was there for the Overwatch thing that we did. That was really fun. Had a blast with that. Me, Patrick, Chris, and Garrett moderated that thing and had a blast with doing that. So big thanks
for all
the
support. Yeah, I came up to that. I took a photo of that and I need to send it over to you.
Oh, you should. I would love that.
I took it standing right next to the mailbox with the doing doing thing at the top.
And if Aaron Keller is listening, he might be. He's a fan of some of what we do. He was one of the panelists. He was awesome, and thanks, and he gave all kinds of cool info, and that's the kind of guy I'd like to hang out with. I think he's rad.
All three of them really, really down to earth, really cool people.
I feel like Aaron Keller might be the new Metzen. I'm just floating it out there like a fart in the wind, just a little.
He doesn't have the voice, Scott. Hey, BlizzCon, where you at, Horde?
Let's talk a little bit about the whole thing of BlizzCon, because
You have a story.
I had a great time, and I had the best of times, Scott, and I had the worst of times. Wasn't quite that bad.
Well, it was a combination, I think, for a lot of us, but you've got some story you've been hiding all week that I can't wait to hear. So
I do. And it's part of our brand new BlizzCon winners and losers.
Winners
segment.
And losers. That's right. Do I have a theme? Hold on. Do I have? Yeah, I do. Here you go. Here you go. Thank you, Zarya. She's brought it in. Let's do it.
Nice. All right. So BlizzCon, first of all, winners, right? The whole Blizzard team, they put on an excellent show. The announcements that they made, there was no like big, we've had a bunch of years where it's like big expansion announcement and big new game announcement and all that. This was like, hey, we're making stuff better in the things we've already got. So we've got, of course, new characters in Overwatch and in Heroes of the Storm. We've got a new expansion in Hearthstone that looks so amazing. I'm so excited about
that. It looks really good. Although, again, well, yeah, I'll tell you about that in a minute, but go ahead.
Yeah. The Diablo 3, getting Diablo 1 with a Necromancer, the whole kind of remastering of that, great. Mm-hmm. All right, here's where BlizzCon, here's where they're losers.
All right, so we've got Brian's winners list. You just heard it. Now the losers list.
Aaron, cover your ears if you're listening. Yeah.
You don't want to hear this one, buddy.
Okay, so My big complaint has to do with capacity. They went from 25,000 people last year to what I hear is 30,000 this year. And I haven't felt the walls creaking under the floorboards creaking under that much stress until this year. They've been doing a steady increase, right? Year after year after year.
Yeah. Well, at one point it was a much higher than they dropped it. So they
really?
Yeah,
okay.
They were like at 60 or something and they said that's too much and they went to like 24. Wow. And then even Morheim this year got up and said 26. So the 30 I also heard.
Yeah.
So I can't figure out why we're getting conflicting reports as to capacity or whatever. All I know is this. They gave 900 media passes, and there were 300 seats in the media section.
that doesn't seem like right the correct math, right?
Yeah, nice math, Blizzard.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue on.
But that, you know, you really started to feel it this year. I felt like the masses, because it was way more crowded, way more difficult to get around. And so Tristan and I Saturday morning decided, hey, let's go check out We didn't get to see the new Overwatch arena that they built. I heard it was incredible. It was. Let's go watch the quarterfinals or the semifinals or whatever we can get to in the Overwatch arena. It was almost more just to see the arena than it was to watch actual Overwatch competition. We just really wanted to see it.
I could tell you, by the way, it is really incredible in there. Mm-hmm. Two major complaints. Mm-hmm. One, 2,500 seats is not enough for how big Overwatch is this year.
Right, right.
Two, if you think you have great seats, you're wrong, because they'll put you up in the front rows there where mm-hmm. I sat, and I thought, man, this Russia v. France game is going to be the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
And then the big boom camera, swing camera guy that every time there's a final play, he swings it past the faces of the players, would park his camera in front of the giant jumbotron that is our view. Yeah, there's no way for us to see the game without a big jumbo camera thing in front of the jumbotron. It was terrible.
Oh, that stinks. Yeah, there was some of that in the Hearthstone thing too. We were on the other side of it, but I could tell if you were in a certain area, that boom cam was going to be in your face constantly.
Obnoxious. Anyway, yeah. so couldn't get in there.
So Tristan and I go and there's a line. I run up to the guild hall to drop off some stuff. Tristan runs to go get us a place in line. He texts me and says, "Nope, Dad, they just cut off the line. No way to get in." Like, all right, well, no problem. So we go in and we're kind of in that area. I go and meet him in that area, and there's a guy there saying, you know, we're condensing the line, folks, or, you know, people are coming out. You might get a chance to get in. So we're like, oh, all right, we're gonna stand right here. And basically, there was the line for Overwatch, and then there was a wide walkway, like five-person across walkway, and then some pillars. And we said, well, let's stand by the pillars. That way we're out of the way. Nobody's going to trip on us. Mm-hmm. And so we're waiting for the guy to kind of wave us over to the guy that we talked to, said, yeah, you can wait over there and we'll flag you when you can come in.
All right.
Well, as we're waiting there, crowd, like more people are starting to pile up, and they're piling up around us. They're piling up and they're blocking that lane. They're getting in front of us, between us and where the line is. So in essence, they're like blocking the lane. It's not like we had a line there, so it's not like they cut in line or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But they were definitely like, oh, people standing here, cool, let's stand in front of them so that we can get to whatever it is before them.
It was like a clot forming.
It was a clot. Mm-hmm. And people were like, you know, scooching past, excuse me, just to go and stand in front of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the guy says, all right, we're a bunch of people came out. We're opening up the line again. And these guys all make a bum rush. And Tristan and I are way too polite about it. We're not aggressive enough about it.
Right.
But they make this bum rush towards that one little opening, and they all kind of jam in there. And the guy's like, whoa, slow down. All right, come on, one at a time. And he's funneling people in, and the line's going in the little snaky snake thing. And they says, all right, we got to cut the line off right here. And here.
Let me guess.
Yes. Would you like to guess where here was?
All right. So right directly in front of Brian and you and Tristan.
Right in front of me and Tristan.
Okay.
And he says, but don't worry, we're collapsing the line, or we're compressing the line a little bit more. There's some room over in this front part, and people are slowly starting to move back and forth. So take a few steps, just take a few steps back. And everybody is taking a few steps back behind us. So it's been established that, hey, we're next as soon as this thing opens up again.
It is now the structural integrity of a line has now formed itself, and you are the spearhead of it.
Yeah, sort of. Okay. I mean, it's still a mob behind us, but we're at the front of the mob.
All right.
So we're all making a step back. We're making that kind of four-person wide fire lane.
Yeah.
And that was a blue shirt Blizzard guy. Super nice guy, friendly guy. Mm. Well, then black shirt Blizzard guy comes in. I don't know if there were different, if there was like...
Here's my understanding. I can tell you right now.
Yes, good.
Blue shirt Blizzard people are actual Blizzard employees that are there year-round doing all sorts of things, not just BlizzCon stuff. Black shirt Blizzard people are part of their contractors Blizzard has hired to help during the actual event.
Okay, so hired thugs, basically.
Hired thugs. In fact, I think you're using the word thug, maybe literally, but we're about to find out.
This guy comes in and he's like, you're not going to get it. Like, looking right at Tristan and I as if we've been... If we set up tents outside of Best Buy so that we could get the 47-inch Vizio 4K TV for $6.99 on Black Friday morning.
That is so oddly specific. You had that. It's like you had that ready to go for weeks.
I swear to God, that just funneled out of my mouth. I did not have that plan or anything. But he's like staring. You're not going to get in. We got to keep this lane open. You're not going to get in. We're shutting the line down. I said, well, the guy just said that he's compressing the line, that we might get a chance to get in. No, you're not going to get in. Move. You're just going to have to go. Go somewhere else. Really? He says, I don't want to be rude, but you just got to go somewhere else.
Wow.
And I said, well, you kind of are being rude because you're, you know, conflicting with what that guy says. Don't worry about what that guy says. What I'm saying is we got to keep this line clear. You go somewhere else.
Wow.
And I'm not at all like embellishing his attitude, his snottiness, any of that stuff. Tristan and I were like, oh, that just sucks. And we were both kind of really ticked off about that for a while. We were quickly calmed down because we ran into some listeners who greeted both Tristan and I. All right. Winner.
So many listeners.
Winner. Yeah. Listeners. Yeah. Attendees. The fans of the show came up to us and said hi.
Yep.
The folks in the Guild Hall, they're all awesome. They're like super, super cool.
Yep.
Any time you were down about anything, all you had to do was go to the Guild Hall and see all those people there.
Yep.
or bump into people who like the show or listen to The Instance or listen to TMS, and it was great.
They were the heroes of the storm.
Yes. Now, attendees, also losers.
Oh, no way. Sweet. We got some attendee losers.
The aforementioned bum rushers. That was such a constant thing. There were so many times where something would happen and it was almost like mob mentality took over and people would just zoom past anybody else, push their way past anybody else to do something.
Would you call them deplorables, Brian? Would they be deplorables?
They are I'm trying to think of a good instead of basket, what's a Blizzard related container? raid team of deplorables. Vault.
A raid. an LFR group of deplorables. There you go.
A bag of holding of deplorables.
There you go.
There you go. Very good. Thank you, Archineer. And here's the funny thing is that you'd get there'd be other places where there's a walkway. Maybe not a fire lane, Scott,
yeah.
but a walkway, yeah. right through something.
Yeah.
And you'd get people that decided that that was the best place for them to discuss their Heroes of the Storm strategy in like sticking out in this thing where so only one person could get through.
Yep. No crowd awareness. You're right.
How could they have, these are people probably on their raid team who are like, oh, don't stand in that poo. I'm going to stand over here. Kite the boss over there. I'm going to shoot from over here. And this is the cone of attack. So I'm going to be over here. I've got tremendous raid awareness, but apparently no self-awareness.
No actual crowd social awareness. This happened a lot to me too. You're not alone in this. I think it was weirder. It was just thicker this year. And I don't know if it's because so much of the floor was taken up with, and they've got four major esports events happening.
Yeah.
All of which just took up huge amounts of space.
So that's probably it too, yeah. right? Just less, you know, more of these, mm-hmm. these arena setups and stuff.
To move the Dark Moon Fair upstairs. And I thought up there was going to be mm-hmm. slow and easy, like traffic on Sunday in Salt Lake City, but no.
That place was packed as well.
It was totally yeah. packed, and it seemed like people were everywhere. In the food truck area, always packed. The mm-hmm. Hilton, freaking nightmare.
The Hilton, yeah, getting around the bar area, the base of the escalators at the Hilton was insanity. Way more of that choke points. It was like they were trying to create choke points.
It was exactly. It was like Overwatch choke points. Like, here's the point. Get on the point. We have this payload there by now. Like, it was not a lot of that stuff, but also, hey, the Hilton had this brilliant idea this year. So here's one of my losers on the list.
Yep, good.
To hire a band, a DJ, and put them right out in front of the thing there and turn it up past the actual decibel level a human ear is meant to handle.
Yeah.
And play it so loud that people on the seventh floor could hear it and play it till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
it was awful. And the drinking and the barfing and the people tripping on themselves, it sucked. That part sucked. The Hilton needs to rethink their strategy there. Not only that, this is just insult to injury because those bastards are charging 33% higher rates this year mm-hmm. on everything. I paid $11 for two AA batteries in a pinch because I had to record something.
Oh, it's too bad. Yeah, I wish I would have known. I had a bunch of spares with me.
Do you know what I could get at Costco for $11,
oh,
Brian?
Oh, yeah, exactly. You could get a swimming pool full of batteries yeah. at Costco.
$14 bottles of water.
Kirkland batteries is yeah. what I hear they are. Yeah.
That's what they call them. They make toilet paper and batteries. So I'm with you 100% on everything you've said so far. Any other humdingers? Anything
yes.
else? Just ring your bell.
Yes. All right. Vendors.
Uh-oh.
Losers. Asus, Newegg, Razer. So you're BlizzCon is 2 days long. Show floor is open from 9 until 8, I think.
Yeah, 8 or 9, day. Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so you've got 11 or 12 hours per day. You get about 20-ish hours total time at BlizzCon. You want to see the panels. You want to do all this stuff. So for the vendors to have this weird, intricate, overly intricate system of getting you to visit their booths and all the other booths and spend an hour and a half in line to see what they have to offer and possibly win a t-shirt or a pin or whatever. But then you also have to get a stamp from the Asus booth. And by the way, the Asus guys have a scavenger hunt of their own where you have to go to the next, the new egg booth as well.
Yeah, they're all triple time gamifying everything over there.
They really are. Yeah. And normally I love that stuff, but this year it seemed excessive. There was an hour and a half line at Razer to play 5 minutes of Overwatch so you could be entered in a drawing to win a keyboard. And Tristan and I are like, yeah, no, screw that. Well, you know, we love visiting the vendors. The vendor stuff and the potential wins of swag and that sort of thing is always kind of one of the fun things we like to do because it's that kind of gamifying, great. But when it's so complex and intricate that to do it would require 4 or 5 hours of your time there at BlizzCon.
Yeah, it's like grinding rep in World of Warcraft.
Exactly what it is. Yeah. It's like fishing.
Yeah.
Come on. We don't need fishing.
Yeah. Patch this shit. What are you gonna do next year?
However,
yes.
That said,
yeah.
Jinx, freaking winners in my book.
I agree.
They had a line there for their stuff too. And they did the same damn thing. We're gonna cap the line off right here, directly in front of Tristan and I. Happened at Disneyland too, but I won't get into that. But the Jinx, the two games that they actually had you play in the booth were a blast, and Tristan and I had such a good time doing those.
They also I'm thinking of NVIDIA. NVIDIA had an artist on a HTC Vive in Google. What's Google's paint program in there?
Oh, the 3D paint deal?
Yeah, what's that called? I forgot. I have it. I don't even remember the name of it. Anyway, that thing. Doing like a big Diablo versus Ragnaros setting fight.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievably
cool. Really? Oh,
so,
that's cool.
So cool. It's up on some big screens.
No, that's SketchUp. No, that's a different
SketchUp.
Thing.
Not SketchUp. It's Sketcherino. Jimba Jamba Joe.
Does that actually help you remember something?
Tilt brush. That's
tilt
it.
Tilt brush.
No, it doesn't help me at all.
It's a stall technique, isn't it?
It really is. It's just to fill air, dude. It's just to fill some air.
Right, so we're not sitting there waiting silently for somebody in the chat room to fill in. So anyway, those are my BlizzCon winners. Our BlizzCon winners and losers.
All right. Well, I'm ready for the Tobelstein as well. Here are my winners, my losers. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Winner above and beyond the Necromancer, who was playable on the thing. People think, oh, what are you talking about? Diablo 3, who cares? No. Freaking Necromancer, badass as hell, plays great. Absolutely reminiscent of the Diablo 2 Necromancer, my favorite class of all Diablo history. Back in a huge way. I am all up in this, but keep this in mind. That Diablo 1 remake is happening this year, sometime soon. Well, maybe not this year, but sometime soon-ish. And the Necromancer is a whole separate thing, and that's coming out next year sometime. We don't know when, probably early, but they're not tied together. So you don't get the Diablo 1 remake and Diablo 3 and the Necromancer at the same time. Those are two separate things.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
But anyway, they didn't have the Diablo 1 3 thing playable there, but I did play the Necromancer. He's awesome. Big winner. Big, big winner. All right.
Yeah, cool.
You know what? I have some winner noises. Let's play these winner noises. Okay, that's my winner.
Okay.
Here's winner number two. The fans, the community, the everybody who came up and said hi, everyone I gave a print to, everyone that hugged me, even the nervous ones that were terrified to talk. I'm so glad you weren't. I had one guy who's it was refusing to come say anything, and his wife made him, and he turned out to be the nicest guy.
The guy was so awesome in the guild hall, right?
Yeah, it was great.
Yes.
It was so cool. And I remember all kinds of I remember names like Missy, you were so cool. And who else? It was so good to hang out with Triumphy. And
Umphy. I met Monica. Remember Monica?
Oh, Monica. Monica's so nice.
Yes.
She was so nice. I wanted to take Monica home with me. And I know that sounds
because
creepy.
Of the restraining order.
It sounds creepy, and I don't mean it to, but she's the sweetest thing.
She
was
really
so nice. And there were so many people like that. I got to finally meet Taryn Gregory. He's the cinematics dude up there at It sounds like he's in StarCraft. This is Terran Gregory.
It totally does, yeah.
He used to be Protoss Gregory, but no, he's the coolest dude. We're going to have an interview soon. I got to meet a bunch of Blizzard people I hadn't before.
Oh, I finally got to meet Brian Huff.
Oh, yeah, Brian Huff. You got to be. I got to hang out with those guys a bunch. I know I'm going to miss names here, and I totally apologize, but the well-played party was great. Got to meet Ian Hazakosis there. That guy's freaking killing it. Ran into Panzer, gave her a hug before her thing. She was super nervous, but I think she did great. Who else? I don't know. Just too many. Like, all those kinds of things. Got to sit and eat dinner and talk with Brian Holinka for like an hour. He showed up to our live show. So did Russell Brower. These are all winners. Here. Okay. Winners. Those are all winners. Great time. Family was there. It was great to be with my kids and Kim and see you and see everybody and all that. I got to tell you the weirdest thing. My brother-in-law, Ken, my sister, his son, Thatcher, and his new fiance, Mariko, were all there. We were in the same hotel.
Right.
And we never crossed paths even one time. And I have no idea how.
I did not see Randy Jordan for 1 second at this thing.
Never saw him.
He showed up to the Terpster for like a half a second.
He showed up to the instance right after you left.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
figures.
We had breakfast the next day. But you were gone because you had another fight. But that's how this goes. The math is weird. And then there were yet other people. We had people... Oh, and I'm going to forget your names. I'm so sorry. But you were behind us in the airplane. The whole trip, they were behind us in the airplane on the way there. We get there. We see them a couple times at the airport. They got the first prints. Well done. And then we see these people everywhere we go. They're always around. And they kept saying, we promise we're not stalking. We promise we're not stalking. I'm like, I know. It's just the timing. And then on the flight out, we see them again in the airport because they're getting ready to fly back right around the same time we were. So there was like that kind of thing where you just see some people all the time, and then some people you expected to absolutely see. I never saw Corey Stockton. We always have this tradition of seeing each other. I talked to Jesse Cox for a minute. That never happened, so that was cool. I saw Terpster way more than I usually do. I was with Patrick a ton.
Right.
He's flying, by the way, with his tooth missing, so good luck, Patrick.
Oh, yeah, right. Broke his tooth at Tom's house.
Yeah, don't get a clot.
Tom made a cake out of corn nuts, I hear.
Nut cake is Tom's favorite recipe, and that'll get you every time if you're not careful. Plus, you smell like a Dorito sock for the rest of the week. Anyway, I just love being with everybody and just all that stuff. Win, 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 okay? Mm-hmm. Win, win, win. Here's the big loser. And I'm gonna say it was me. Oh, we also had kind of a bummer. I should just mention it. If he listens to the show, I hope he's okay. But Jorge Mendoza... A fan of the shows was at the live instance. That was a packed room, as you can imagine. Nobody could move. And he was sitting over there. I think I'd shaken his hand earlier, so I sort of recognized him. But unbeknownst to us, toward the end of the thing, we finished the show where everyone's kind of hugging, taking pictures, talking to Russell a little bit, and milling around. And then somebody says, we have a problem over here. We have a problem. As people start clearing, and we look, and there's Jorge on the ground. Mm-hmm. And he's not moving. And luckily,
unresponsive, and
Julia Chung, who's with John LeGrave, who works at Blizzard, he's in the Diablo team now, is a big shot over there now. They've been to Nerdtacular a bunch. You've seen Julia before. She's a doctor, like straight up full on doctor. Thank goodness. So she rushes over there. She's checking for breathing and pulse and all this sort of stuff. And so we felt better that she was there, but he was absolutely not responding. So we didn't know what was going on. Was it a heart attack? Was it something else? We never really knew. But I heard later, because the EMTs cleared us out of there.
They were kind of dicks.
Anyway, I don't mean that they shouldn't clear people out. They should, but they were really belligerent, which I think they just thought they had another drunk guy on their can.
So they were,
He wasn't drinking. He hadn't drunk. He had no alcohol. He was just a thing. So apparently he's got some condition. He was able to get up under his own power after everyone had gone. And I think he's okay now, but it may have been like narcolepsy or, some kind of...
Oh, really? Wow.
Sudden sleep disorder type thing that affects people. Anyway, I just want him... If he's listening, I hope you're better. I wanted to hang around and make sure you're okay. I felt really bad about that. It was a really weird ending to that night.
Yeah.
But he's not... Nobody died. That's the important thing. So nobody died. But here's my big loser of the con. You ready?
Ready.
And this buzzer's for me. Because I'm the big loser. Here's what happened.
No. Okay.
I was supposed to help somebody propose to his girlfriend during the Con Before the Storm Heroes panel I hosted. And I had planned it for like 2 weeks. He and I had been talking on and off. We had all sorts of conversations about it. I was ready to roll. I got to Thursday, talking to people before the panel. Panel starts at 6:30 or whatever it was. We get up there. He's out in the audience. He's just sort of waiting for me to do this.
Oh, no.
I completely freaking space it. Completely forgot it with all the pressure of what we're talking about. I completely forgot. If I'd have just told Kim, this would have been solved. She would have made sure I did
Kim
it.
Kim is on top of those things.
So I completely forget it. He comes up later at the signing booth where I'm signing signatures and giving people prints and stuff. And he looks at me and he says, do you remember me? I says, oh, have we met before? And he holds up his card and he goes, recognize the name? And it hits me. Like, oh, shit. And he's standing there with his lovely girl. And I think, this is her. This is the one. She's the one. And she's got the ring on. And I think, oh, well, what happened? He says, don't worry about it. We went out to the fountain. I proposed. Everything's great. She said, yes. She's thrilled. They're totally getting married.
I was going to say, and those two broke up later that night because she wanted him to make a commitment that he wasn't, she didn't think he was prepared to make.
I mean, these are all the things going through my head, so you're not all that wrong. So I was totally stressed out about it, and I've never felt so schmopey as I did then. I felt so bad. So I spent most of the weekend apologizing to them whenever I could see them, including the live instance. I had them sort of raise their hand and gave them the big sob story and told everybody there, I'm a big giant idiot. So, loser of the con, Scott Johnson. Well done, dumbass. Anyway, it all went good otherwise. Otherwise, hey, our flight was 20 minutes early both ways. That was great. Right. Perfect flights. What else? I had I stopped being sick there. Like at a con, I stopped being sick.
It's like con had the opposite effect. Yeah. I guess two wrongs make a right.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, before I forget, you saw Doctor Strange.
Yes, but hold on a second. You know what? Let's save that for we'll save it for Stephen Schleicher because there's one more thing I want to ask you about the con.
Okay, go.
And that was your kids and you getting to meet Crazy Neighbor.
Oh, yeah, Crazy Neighbor was there, you guys. So the only time Brian and I actually got to have a meal and decent time together this year was at this Thursday night dinner.
Wednesday night.
Yeah. And it was at a restaurant where they have decided that it should only be light enough as if there is a night light in the hall on. You can't see shit in there.
No, super, super dark. And they've got the tiniest, thinnest font on their menus.
Yeah, by far. It's crazy. And so I don't know why they do that, but whatever. We're in this place. I won't say the name because I don't want to besmirch them, but it's me sitting next to Brian, sitting next to Carter, sitting next to Nick. It rhymes with
Schmickormick and Schmick.
There you go. Yeah, you'll never get it. You'll never get it from that. Across from you is Tristan. Across from me is Kim. And then across from my kids are Crazy Neighbor Dave and your other friend you've done work for that works with Dave.
Andy.
Yes. Andy, there you go.
Right.
I really like Andy, by the way.
Yeah, he's great. He's
super really, nice really guy. Cool. Really nice guy. And I said to the kids before all this, and I said, now we're going to go to dinner. Just so you know, this is one of Brian's neighbors. Brian calls him Crazy Neighbor sometimes. I just want you guys to know that if he says something quirky or weird or does something strange, I don't want it to freak you out. This is something he's kind of known for. It's totally fine. They said, no worries, Dad. We got this. So we get there, and he says a lot of weird things. which is fine. He had an interesting conversation with the waiter about a drink that was wrong, and you know, just has an interesting approach to things. I felt prepared because you've told me everything, but what we weren't prepared for was there was a girl celebrating her 21st birthday with a bunch of balloons behind us.
Right, a couple of balloons in the shape of the numbers 2 and 1 for her birthday.
And
right.
Every couple, I want to say it was 2, maybe 3 times, he would find an excuse to get up and walk past it and try to pop the balloons with a fork. Like, he would get up, walk past, go, and poke at it, and it wouldn't blow. It would just knock it. And they would all notice. These people are like, what the hell is this guy doing to our balloons every time? And he would grin as he passed and grin as he came back and ask us, you know, questions about nerds who play video games. And he was a delight. So
He's great.
Yeah, he was great. And he ended up showing up at the con before the storm for a little while during our panel. Yeah, and they just wanted to know what the hell was going on in there. Like, they were like, we wanted to see up close what this stuff was about.
Oh, that's hilarious, because we were at Disneyland during that whole thing. I had no idea.
Yeah, so but they were both there. And then, Mike Morheim. Oh, I got another win. Mike Morheim came and listened about half my panel. That was nice.
Oh, very cool.
But I was worried that I was saying stupid stuff the whole time after I found out he was there. So I thought, oh, no, what did we say? What did we say? Did we say something that was done with Blizzard, or they shouldn't have let Chris go, or, you know, like all this stuff. Not let Chris go, but you know what I mean. They should have held on to him for dear life is what I meant to say. But anyway, long and the short of it, BlizzCon, baby.
Yeah.
Good stuff. We'll talk about Doctor Strange or Schleicher.
Yep.
It's time for us to get this show on the road with today's contest. We're going to stump Daryl, and it means you guys can win some prizes. 801-895-4724. That's the number, 801-895-4724. And we'll get you guys some winny wins, you know, like a little bit of win-win. Oh, what did you think of the swag bag I was going to ask you about? Do you think it was all right? Think it was okay this year?
Oh, yeah. This year's this year's swag bag. Mm-hmm. Win. Mm-hmm. Ding.
Ding. Okay. I'll give you a ding. Got one.
But size of packaging mm-hmm. and the fact that Tristan and I actually had to go and buy additional luggage to be able to get our swag bag home, because we have ours and we also had Nicole and Mark's.
Yeah.
We had the Spagnolos.
Oh, that's right.
We had
right.
to get all that stuff back home. And if you have four of those big boxes, you're screwed.
Like, well, what we did is we opened them up and tore everything out and put it all in bags and shipped the Steins by themselves from Anaheim.
Smart. Yeah. We opened the boxes, we shoved all the things inside the Stein, put the Stein back in the styrofoam, and then we were able to put two swag bags in one of those Blizzard boxes. So we came back with two Blizzard boxes.
That's not so bad. Oh.
We still had to go and buy a duffel bag, though, to bring all that stuff back.
Well, that's not so bad. All right, we'll give the swag bags a... Yeah. There you go. We'll get that. It's time for Stump Daryl, and we're going to get to it right now with some theme music, and then we're going to have a caller, and then we're going to go. So here you go. Oh, there you go.
I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Stump Daryl, brought to you by...
Brought to you by Soundography. Today's episode, just posted, Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention. Yeah, the guy has so many damn albums. We had to rely on an expert to pick a few albums, about 20 albums each, that we were going to go through for the catalog. Believe me, we still went through a lot of albums, don't get us wrong, but Mr. Genie helped us out with that one. It is Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention. Learn all about his history, his humanitarianism, his causes, his performance, his songwriting, and that one guy who ran up on stage and took him out and sidelined him for a little while and affected his voice, as a matter of fact.
Such a bummer.
All this and more on Soundography at soundography.com. Me and Hammond Chamberlain.
Hammond Chamberlain.
Hammond Chamberlain.
Chamberlain from Cumberbatch. All right. Hey, what's going on? We got a caller on the line. Who's this?
Hi, it's Dakota from Michigan.
Well, hello, Dakota from Michigan. That must be confusing for people, right? Dakota from Michigan?
Yep.
Yeah. Do you like Dakota Fanning? Do you have to be a fan automatically just because of your name?
Is she a national treasure, state treasure?
Yeah, it's one of the few famous ones. All girls.
Dakota, I like that name a lot. Dakota's a really cool name. Mm-hmm. I feel like if I was going to have a new kid, I might consider Dakota in the list. Daryl, if I was going to have a new kid, what am I saying? Hey, Daryl.
Yeah.
What's going on, brother?
Oh, not much.
Yeah? Do you enjoy your couple days without us there?
No.
No?
But that's okay.
You like what we do here, don't you? You like what we do here. Yeah. It's a good time.
And you know what I did to celebrate BlizzCon?
What'd you do?
What'd you do?
I got Legion.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, nice.
It's good, isn't it?
Wow.
Did you boost? Who'd you boost? Did you boost a character?
Oh, my main guy.
Yeah, yeah. And
prepare for lots of content.
Yeah. It's the biggest, thickest, richest milkshake you're ever going to drink.
It really is.
Yeah. You will drink your milkshake. Well, good. I'm glad that you got it. I'm glad you're having fun. Brian, let's explain to Dakota how this works and what he could win.
Sure. So, Dakota, we're going to be asking Daryl a trivia question in a moment. That question's answer is numerical. Daryl's going to miss it, but he's probably going to be close. You never know. And but what we're going to ask you to do is tell us whether the real answer is higher or lower than Daryl's guess. If you are correct today, you win a Red Shirts board game courtesy of Scott Johnson and the Red Shirts Board Game Company of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Nicely done.
I don't know if they're really from there. I don't know where they're from.
Today's topic is about the Cubs, by the way, and here's what's interesting. Well, I usually have Brian say what the topic is. But I watched that game Thursday night. Wednesday night. Good Lord. I thought I came to BlizzCon for some hardcore competition, but I did not know it would begin with baseball.
right?
That was insane. Maybe the most interesting, fun, intense, nail-biting game I've ever witnessed.
It's how you want a World Series Game 7 to end, right? Yep. Right down to the wire, overtime, extra innings, and a 15-minute rain delay.
Yeah, it was incredible. Everything baseball has to offer in one game. Just incredible.
What does Third Eagle think of the Cubs?
He thinks that it's... hold on. Gosh, dang it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. No, I like where you're coming from. He says this.
It's the third quintet of the...
That's not him. He says...
Ridiculous.
All right, I can't find his other one. It's end times is what we're looking for. It's end times.
Oh, no, it's not. There was a thing in the video I sent you a link to.
Oh, I haven't done that yet. I haven't pulled it out yet.
Okay, all right. Be ready for that tomorrow.
Sounds crooked to me.
All right. Hey, anyway, what's the point? Oh, the point is baseball. Check it out. It's great.
Right.
America's pastime. Cubs won. Cubs won for the first time.
It's great.
They haven't won since 1908. That is insane. Oh, my gosh. What a game. Yeah. Anyway, all right. We got a question here from Ken Cowan. He submitted today's question. We're using it. Here it is. The last time the Cubs won the World Series was 1908. The tallest building in the world at that time was the Singer Building in New York City. How many stories tall was the Singer Building? What do you think there, Dakota?
No, we don't ask. Daryl. We ask Daryl.
Yeah, I mixed it up. You know, Daryl, the fine state of Daryl.
Daryl Coda.
The Skeels.
Okay, in 1908. I'm going to say...
A long time ago.
Oh. This is not easy.
No. Mm-hmm.
No.
No. No, it is not.
You got to think of what came after that and about where things like the Empire State Building and the Chrysler Tower and stuff like that were.
Yeah.
And this wasn't all that long after the era of Westerns where the tallest building was two stories.
Right, the saloon.
That's true. In fact, in 1908, the Wild West was still sort of happening, but much wester than that, of course.
Oh, let's see. I'm going to take my guess and lower it. My original... Well, no, I'm not going to say that. I'll just say my guess is 32.
I remember 32. 32 is good. I still felt 20 when I was 32.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now
yeah,
I feel about 35 now. All right. Well, there you go. Let's see if that number's right. Brian, is it right?
Sure. The number, number of stories, 32 is incorrect. Dakota, is the correct answer higher or lower than 32?
I have no idea. Let's go lower.
You're going to say lower than 32 in 1908. Let's find out from the judges if that is correct. Is it?
Oh no.
It is incorrect. The correct answer is, and Daryl's going to love this,
yes.
47.
Oh, I should have guessed that.
Bye, Dakota. All right, he's out. It is 47 floors for reals. That seems really high for 1908 for some reason to me.
It does, yeah.
Sure.
So I would have, you know what? I hats off to Dakota and you, Daryl. I would have totally gone low on that. In fact, I would have said like 20 at the most.
Oh, really?
In 1908? It feels like everything was made out of...
Yeah, right.
Wasn't everything bamboo and like wicker and stuff? Like
A little bit more than that. Like, you know, there were steel implements there, Scott.
It wasn't just...
Steel framework and...
But always like there were dead bodies that were from the building it and stuff, right? Like it was just a rougher time. There were bad things. Was this before the great... the great flu of 1918, right? Wasn't that the big flu that killed like 50 billion people or whatever it did?
Yeah,
my numbers are off.
That started at the Singer Building.
Yeah, the Singer Building. There you go. ground zero, patient zero. All right, Daryl, well done. You've made a person go away penniless and board gameless. But tomorrow we'll try it again. It's not a problem. Daryl's the Trek nerd. Oh, do we have a thing to finish?
Food. Yeah, we do. Yeah, totally.
I don't remember.
Food, we do.
Do we? What do we have?
We have maple candy and.
Oh right. Right. We do. Okay, so here's this, guys, folks, people listening, countrymen, fellow Americans. Hold on. Where is it?
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Bunch of foodie.
All right here. We Two things left, I guess.
That's right. Honey maple, honeybee, honey and maple, either the maple candy or the honey candy.
Well, since they, let's do honey maple. Let's try that.
Okay.
Because this is so Canadian and, you know, maple and all that.
That's the honeybee. Is that the honeybee?
No, I'm looking, I think we're the white one, the white package is what we're looking at.
Yeah.
I was thinking that was pronounced honeybee.
Oh, it probably is.
The yes, the honeybee.
The honeybee.
You know what they keep doing? You know Ganymede, well, it's a moon, but also the bird, Bastion's bird from Overwatch?
Yeah.
I keep calling him the name of Harambe, the ape. I can't stop doing it. I did it the whole con. It drove me crazy. Carter got a little plush one. I'm like, oh, you got Harambe. She's like, Dad, we've had this discussion.
Oh my gosh. Wow, when you open up that plastic container with all the candies in it, holy cow.
It smells like a kid at a sleepover in his onesie.
Oh my gosh, it does.
Yeah.
Oh, it smells fantastic.
Oh, also, I don't know if you noticed this, Brian. Did you see any of they had dispensers for hand sanitizer at BlizzCon?
Yes.
And they are the electric ones where you just put your hand under the sensor, doesn't go and puts in your hand. Yep. They made Bastion noises. Now, I'm not sure it was on purpose or if that just got lucky and it sounded like Bastion, but it was one of my favorite things and I couldn't record it.
Oh, I didn't notice that at all. That's awesome.
I tried to record it, but it was too loud. All right. This thing's kind of like a booger in here.
It's a little hard to take out of the package. You almost have to just peel the package apart.
Oh, it's good, though.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's gooey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes like a saturated pancake that got left on a plate for a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Oh, very good. What's in the middle there? What's that middle bit?
Crusty maple.
Oh, weird.
My favorite band in Las Vegas.
Crusty maple. Taking the center stage. Give Crusty maple a hand, everybody. All right. Well, that was lovely. Thank you for the Crusty maple. Daryl is the Trek nerd. You can find him on Twitter. He's also at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. He will now share with us a game of his own making, his own design, where we do weird shit on
YouTube.
All right, what do you got?
Okay, I'm going to read part of a query that I've entered into YouTube. Mm-hmm. You complete the phrase and win nothing.
By the way, one quick note. Patrick Beja from France, who is not one to shy away from dropping F-bombs every 5 seconds.
No kidding.
Tells me that he thinks I've become very profane lately. I said, what do you mean? He says, these are his words. You use the F word, you use the S word really, really often, is what he told me. So he thinks my constant use of the SHIT has increased exponentially over the years. And maybe he's right. I don't know.
He's right. Yeah.
It's my favorite word, though, that is a little caustic. It's my favorite caustic word.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't help it. So this is the new me, guys. Accept me or deny me.
I'm here. I'm... near, and I'm going to be a sweer.
And I'm sorry if that was a very strange thing to say to
it
me,
really
but I'll
was,
take
yeah,
it.
I'm workshopping that one.
Maybe it's, I don't want to offend people, see, because we're trying to have a nice show, you know, that everybody can listen to. I want you to have, you know, if your kids are in the car, I don't want to send them too far askew. But that one's just hard for me, especially if I'm getting riled up about something. So I'll try to preserve it for those moments. Daryl, take it away. YouTube time.
Okay, this was sent in by Jessix on Twitter.
Oh.
How is blank formed?
How is blank formed?
I'm going to say styrofoam.
Well, that's not bad. That's not bad at all, actually. I'll say...
that's something I would look up.
Yeah, I would too. How is... Oh, geez. It feels like there's something right on the tip of my tongue here. Not the maple. How is something formed? The problem was the is, because I want to say how are mountains formed.
Right, how are icebergs formed? You know.
Mm-hmm. How is... because it's election week, I'll say how is democracy formed? I can't think of anything else.
Okay, the real answer, which I don't understand, but I'm saying it anyway. How is... prangent formed.
How would we... Goodbye. Daryl's out. How would we ever know what that is?
It's somebody is mistyping pregnant. How is pregnant formed?
How is pregnant formed? If you ask that way, you should be pregnant. All right?
No.
I mean, you should never have sex.
We don't want you procreating.
Yeah, don't procreate. Don't create anything. All right, quick news right now.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's time for the news brought to you by
The Instance and Core. Scott, what did you bring home?
A bunch of interviews. So we got some cool stuff to put on both. More Core than anything, because we had a lot of Heroes interviews with people. And if you want to hear all of the audio content that was acquired from BlizzCon, including the live Instance episode that will all be up later today on their respective feeds. So
nice.
Check those out. All right. All right.
All right.
Let's now dive into what I got here. You got a little something here.
Okay.
Some news. Some quick news. 15-year-old girl can have sex with a 47-year-old uncle, according to a German court.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's going good in Germany there. Yeah, gross.
Right?
A German court has ruled that the parents of a 15-year-old girl cannot prevent her from having a sexual relationship with her 47-year-old uncle. According to reports, the teenager named only as Josephine Du. Only as Josephine, due in German privacy laws. I guess due what?
Due to German privacy laws. Oh, yeah. They'll just call her Josephine because she's underage.
I want that to be her last name.
Josephine Du?
Josephine Du. Anyway, she ran away with this guy under the age of 14. When the couple was discovered in France by police, she said she had chosen to run away and to live with the older man, who was her uncle by marriage. Josephine's parents reportedly sought a court order to prevent her from being in contact with her. On the grounds that it would put her welfare at risk, but the teenager challenged the order and won, with the court ruling that the 14-year-old's wishes would be taken into account, according to the Telegraph. Boy, we do that way different. Ooh. Here in the States, man.
Yeah.
Woo! I think
14. Ran away with her uncle at the age of 14.
Hey, Brian, can we, in the dictionary, change the definition of minor to the picture of this person?
Oh,
because, good Lord, geez. That's bad. Guys like our age, man.
Yeah, exactly. Ugh. Oh, that's just creepy.
Ugh. All right, how about this one? Oh, speaking of F-bombs, did you know women use the F-word more than men?
Really?
A unique survey of the swearing habits of men and women over the past 20 years has revealed that not only is the English language constantly discovering new ways to be rude, but women are using the F-word more often than men on the whole. With the help of, and I don't think this is enough, but whatever, 376 volunteers... Seems like a small sample. Who submitted recordings of up to 3 hours.
376 F-bombs led the big parade with 110 S-words close behind.
Well done.
Thank you.
Let's see. They all submitted 3 hours of conversations from their day, right?
And right.
British researchers have amassed a language database of 10 million words. Half of them have been transcribed so far. The full results will not be published until 2018. But the most striking conclusions so far confirm that men are no longer the champs when it comes to effing. Effing and blinding, it says here.
I don't know what the blinding is.
I don't either.
Peaky blinding?
Yeah, peaky blinding. Data from the 1990s shows that men use the F word 1,000 times per million words. And then women less than that, but now it's higher. So well done, women. Oh.
Well done, women.
Yeah, well done. You're all as nasty as us now. Good job.
As nasty as you want to be.
10,000 scrotum frogs died mysteriously.
That's my favorite Natalie Merchant band.
Ah! 10,000 scrotum frogs. You know, maybe we should change it to maniacs. Oh, no, you're right. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think scrotum frogs might put off a few people.
But I've got a great idea for the first album cover.
Anyway, in the Titicaca Lake, by the way,
mm-hmm. Lake, I know it's just bad all around.
Just keeps giving.
It's almost like we're adding to the swear word count by reading this headline.
Yep, scrotum just went up. Let's see. Thousands of critically endangered frogs have been found dead in South America, leaving scientists scrambling to find the cause. The culprit, probably pollution.
Mm.
Their wrinkly skin is an adaptation of to help them absorb more oxygen and water, possibly because they live in such high altitudes, hence why they are called the common scrotum frog. They're big, too. They're scrotum frogs, yeah. They should call them frotums. Frotums.
Frotums.
A frotum. Or a totem.
My scrot.
My frog scrot.
A frog scroop.
Finally, Colorado City I'm so excited because I love when you have some local news.
I do too.
Yes, is my thing. Colorado City is using toilet paper to help repair its cracked roads. It's not pranksters or vandals who toilet paper all over the streets of Littleton, Colorado. Where's that, Brian?
Oh, that's just south. It's close enough that I can get there in 20 minutes and check this business out.
All right, you need to go take a big whiff because here's the deal. The Denver Post reports that Littleton crews have been using bathroom tissue to help seal up cracks along more than 120 of your fine local streets. Officials say toilet paper was applied with a paint roller over freshly laid tar used to fill asphalt cracks. The paper absorbs the oil from the tar as it dries, keeping it from sticking to pedestrian shoes or cars and bike tires. The biodegradable paper will break down and be gone in a few days. Littleton spokesman Kelly Nard. She's a scrot. Says the toilet paper allows traffic to retake the road more quickly.
Interesting. So basically it's like when you do a paper mache around a balloon and then you pop the balloon inside. That's kind of the thing. You're basically using the tar to help using the toilet paper to also help set the shape of the tar.
Yeah, that sounds exactly right to me.
Very clever.
Yeah. I use toilet
paper. Clever is what those people are in Littleton.
I use toilet paper on tar all the time, but I'm not
on asphalt.
Explain. Yeah, my asphalt. My bum
filling
disease.
Filling cracks with toilet paper.
Yep. Nobody can hear us when we talk like this.
No, we're down low.
Nobody has an idea. What other secrets could we tell?
Rosebud is a sled.
My wiener is out during the DirecTV interview. Just kidding.
That's how come Alex Albrecht couldn't make eye contact with you.
You just wouldn't look at me. I couldn't figure it out. But Michelle stared at me a long time.
Show lasted longer than TRS. What? What's the deal with that?
What's up with that? All right. So let's do this. Oh, there was a really great time when the cameras and sound were rolling and they didn't know it. And Alex was singing a song to himself and Michelle was taking a selfie. So well done, guys. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, major spoilers will be here. That's Stephen A. Schleicher. He's got a lot to talk about, including Doctor Strange. We're going to hear Brian's impressions. I'm going to see it tomorrow, I believe. Mm-hmm. We were tried while we were there, and it just didn't work out. So
That's a tough thing to schedule during a trip like that.
I could barely schedule breakfast with people, let alone anything else. It was really hard.
I couldn't.
We'll get back here in a sec with all that. But before that, a quick message from a sponsor, and we'll be right back. This episode of TMS is brought to you by Casper. We love Casper. I own one of their mattresses. I freaking love them. They're an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of what you're paying now. They're revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to you. There's two technologies at play here, latex and memory foam. I have one. I love it. How do I know I love it? They gave me a 100-day risk-free trial. I could send it back anytime I wanted. Got it online. They sent it directly to my door. I set it up and I said, I may send this back if I don't like it, but I ended up loving it and I kept it, and so can you. Again, that's 100 days, absolutely free. Terms and conditions apply. You can go to casper.com/terms for more info. Not some showroom, not some bed a million other people have been on, your own, and you get to try it out. They're all made in the USA. Go get one now, save some money. Additional $50 off if you go to casper.com/morningstream and enter the promo code morningstream. That's casper.com/morningstream and the promo code morningstream. Brian brought music, and I'd sure like to hear it.
Yes, this is a New Jersey four-piece band called Melt. They've got a brand new album, a debut LP called Riffer, which is going to be coming out later this month. These guys are fantastic. They have a very atmospheric, jangly guitar kind of quality that I really, really like. This is their song Out of Line from their brand new LP Riffer. Here is Melt. Show you how to
called Duke a cheat and a liar and then went for his gun.
And that's gospel. I tried to stop him, but when he threw down on me, there was only one thing I could do. I guess I did it.
Yeah, I guess you did.
I see.
The Morning Stream. Isn't there a tiger named Chester Cheetah?
I guess technically it should be Chester Cheetah. Isn't he a tiger? That's how it should be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get back to that.
We'll fix maybe that. A little more work on that one.
Yeah, a little more tweaker on that
2.0
one.
2.0 on that one, Fletcher.
Get us a patch. Patch it up.
Chester Cheetah. He's a tiger, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, even I got it wrong. Brian remembers. Petridge Brian remembers.
I remember what you did last summer.
Yes. All right, let's do, what are we going to do? We're going to do this. What are we doing? We're gonna call Steve and Joy. Forgot for a minute what we're up to. You know, it's funny what 5 crazy days in Anaheim does to your brain.
Oh, totally does, yeah.
You know? And this hopefully won't hang up on you. So let's see.
All right.
Please work, Skype. Oh, it worked. Freaking, it didn't hang up.
Wow.
I don't even know what to say. Thanks, Skype. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, welcome to the show. The one, the only, Kansas's own, Steven Schleicher. Steven, hello.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. I'm good.
Morning. Yeah? I sent you a photo while I was gone. Somebody made a Legion of Doom toy from the Super Friends, and they're selling it as new at Barnes & Noble.
That is... That's interesting. That's a line. I forget what the actual toy line is. It's pretty popular. Mm-hmm. We had a bunch of those for my oldest when he was about that age. Mm-hmm. And they're really cool. They have them for, what are they, Nexit? I forget what the name is. But mm-hmm. they have them for all the superheroes. And they have a really cool Green Lantern one. And so when you sent that, I was like, oh, that's got to be the next evolution of this Legion of Doom. We haven't gone down the young kids aisle mm-hmm. in quite some time, but it wouldn't surprise me if that was a real thing. It looks really cool.
They also had a Hall of Justice next to it. There's mm-hmm. a really big Barnes & Noble we found in Irvine, and it had like 3 floors. It was great. And they had a whole floor just like pop toys and this stuff and like collectibles. And it just was really, it was actually really impressive for a Barnes & Noble.
Yeah. No, I used to live there.
Yeah. 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 I used to live in a Barnes & Noble. Oh, you mean Irvine.
No, Irvine.
Yeah. I sacked out in the fantasy section and slept there every night.
Set up shop and yeah.
Sure.
Bathrooms. Some of those big coffee table books make great, great hiding blinds.
Yeah, they do. It's so anyway, what was I going to say? I was going to tell you something about, and so they had a Hall of Justice, but they were all in the style of Super Friends. So like the mm-hmm. Lex Luthor that came with it was like purple and green.
Green and purple, yeah.
And mm-hmm. all that. Now, here's my question. Hall of Doom, because you probably know this.
Uh-huh.
Was it supposed to look like Black Manta's head?
Kind of. It looked more like Darth Vader's head. But yeah, I think it was supposed to kind of just look like this evil head mm-hmm. At the time. So
it wasn't like, oh, hey, Black Manta, can we borrow your swamp house for a place?
Only house. 2 of us actually get windows. This sucks, Black Manta.
This is the worst Black Manta. That's what you think, super fools. I still love him. Anyway, so
stole
let's
40 cakes that thing looks like.
Hey, we can't go too far without this. It's the Rockford update with Steven Schleicher. Tell us today about the Rockford trailer.
The Rockford trailer, depending on how carefully you watch the show, moved 3 times during its entire run.
All right.
In the pilot episode, it was in a parking lot on Ocean Boulevard in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of episodes later, it moved to a lot just off Pacific Coast Highway in Malibu. And then I think midway through the first season, it landed at 29 Cove Road in Malibu, which was the permanent location for the trailer for the remainder of the run. If you watch it, it's just like, why is there a trailer in the middle of a parking lot next to the beach and a restaurant? And I never found out why he was allowed to live there, but apparently he got cable TV and all the necessary hookups and everything right there.
Mm. Isn't it technically? I mean, a trailer is a mobile style thing, right? So you can move wherever you want, I suppose. But
yeah, but why was he allowed in a restaurant parking lot?
Yeah, that is
weird. That's the weird thing, right?
Yeah, like the back of a Shoney's, they'll arrest you for that, man.
That is a restaurant that actually exists, and you can still visit it today. Mm-hmm. It is at 28128 Pacific Coast Highway is the actual address for that location. And apparently, I haven't checked this out because if you go on to the Google Earth thing, Google Maps, apparently part of that parking lot has been converted into a trailer park for luxury trailers that start around $4 million.
Oh, my.
Wow. So Rockford Rockford really really had a trend going there.
Yeah. That was it's the housing in general. We were on the Pacific Coast Highway, and we saw some like really ancient houses, and one of them was for sale, and it was some ridiculous amount of
money. Yeah, I'm sure it was like $5, $10 million.
Yeah, and it was this dumpy old rambler piece of garbage half the size of anything. It was terrible.
Location, location, location.
I guess so, man. Totally shocking. I'm guessing when they bought that thing, it was like $5,000 in the 60s or something. Like nothing.
There's an episode where, and I forget which one exactly, but there's an episode where he has a payment due on his trailer, and they were wanting to give him something like $4,000 or something for the trailer.
Yeah.
It was a really low price, really shocking.
It's weird.
For today, yeah.
Yeah, it's really weird how quickly that changed. Speaking of which, I got to tell you this quick story. Well, before we do that, hold on. I got to end this because here's this. Whoops, here's this. All right, there's our Rockford file.
Got to bookend it.
Yeah, I got to bookend it. So we went to Huntington Beach and did that Thursday and hung out with the kids and had some fun and all that. And it was great because people in California think it's winter and they're
weird. In their heavy coats.
They're weird.
I know.
It's the weirdest thing.
So many long sleeves and what the heck? What are you thinking?
And it was warm and nice and beautiful at the beach and empty, and that made it great. So we had lunch there. We hung out there. There's a great place called Lemonade down there. That's like a whole restaurant, and it was one of the coolest places I've ever eaten. Anyway, hung around there, did all that.
I hung around the back fudges.
I was going to say that. Curse you.
You knew it was coming, didn't you?
I knew it.
He just beat you to the punch there.
Yep, yep.
So my son, who's out in his swim trunks, running around the beach, getting in the water, because the water was cold, I'll admit that, he comes running up to me with a hand full of shells. He says, "Dad, look at these shells. They're totally cool, these shells." I look in his hand. And they're not shells. They're pistachio.
Oh, no.
Shells. You know, shells from somebody's pistachio.
Somebody's been eating pistachios, spitting out the shells.
Yeah, I said, "Nick, those have been in some guy's mouth over from pistachios." And he looks at him and he goes, "Ah!" And just like chucks them. It was really funny.
Made
me laugh. He learned a little lesson there. Don't always think something's a shell when you see it on the beach in California.
Don't pick up everything you see on the beach in California.
Exactly. Anyway, all right, let's get to this whole Doctor Strange business. I'm hearing from people, and Brian saw it, so I'm excited to hear his review, that not only is it one of the better Marvel films, period, but they once again defy expectations by taking a relatively obscure character from a obscure time in the history of comics and make it not just relevant, but rad, exciting, and now everyone can't wait for more of this.
Very
Guardians of the Galaxy type success here.
It's a lot of fun. It opened $85 million here in the U.S. It's now at $325 million worldwide. Budget of $165 million, so you can expect that there will be, as they say at the end of the credits, spoiler, Doctor Strange will return.
Yeah, they always say that, don't they? So-and-so will return.
Again, no spoiler, but you can see where he's probably going to return next.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And that's been confirmed in a lot of other places.
Oh, has it really? Okay, that was a surprise to me.
There are definitely two end credit bits, one in the middle and one at the end. The one at the end, I think, is more relevant to the overall story of Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. The one in the middle is like, here's where you're going to see Doctor Strange next.
Tell me it's him throwing Howard the Duck off a helicarrier. No?
No. Okay. Nope, sorry.
All right, second question. Does Martin Freeman make a cameo?
No.
Damn it.
But he was in Civil War, so...
Yeah,
not
maybe,
Civil War.
Maybe
Civil War?
Yes. Yeah, Civil War.
Civil
make,
War, yes.
Maybe there's a crossover potential. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Brian, your review, what'd you think of that there deal? I think I have an idea that you liked it, but...
Really enjoyed it. Yeah, it's... As far as I can tell, Marvel's, you know, if you don't really count Spider-Man, which Marvel hasn't had yet, with the exception of the appearance in Civil War, this is the first Steve Ditko property that they've converted into film. And this had a very...
And they Steve went Ditko all film. Out on this thing. I mean,
they did.
A lot of the big success of Doctor Strange in the early days had to do with the people who were dropping LSD and smoking all the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And, totally. You know, if you're a Blacklight fan, man, when you go into another dimension, you're getting a lot of Steve Ditko alternate dimension Blacklight stuff.
I want this movie on velvet.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And I would say this is definitely a movie that was worth seeing in 3D because of all the warping and bending. And, you know, they basically do a Stargate 2001 Space Odyssey journey with Stephen Strange. And that was very cool in 3D with all the colors and everything. So it's, I would say if you can check it out in 3D in a good theater, because ours, I don't think our projector is strong enough, because when you put on those glasses, it knocks the light down quite a bit. So it was a little muddy for us. A lot of people who saw it in IMAX have said it's bright, it's brilliant, and looks great in 3D there. So IMAX 3D may be the way to do this.
Should I listen to like Knights in White Satin and stuff before I go? Should
Yes. There's some prog rock in there as well.
Oh, yeah. Wow. There should be, right? Santana? Got any Santana in there?
No.
No?
Okay. No, but some Chuck Mangione.
Oh, yeah dude.
Now, the composer of the Doctor Strange has confirmed that he will be writing the music for the upcoming Spider-Man movie.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. All right. Well, I'm going either today or Tuesday, probably Tuesday, given schedules around here. But
definitely worth it. It's really one I really want to see again.
Yeah. I that makes me so happy. I'm you know, we know that we kind of know what you're going to get with the big names, like with the mainstream characters, right? But you don't know what to expect with Guardians and Doctor Strange and Ant-Man. Mm-hmm. You just don't know where that's going to go. And they've just delivered so hard on these. I love it.
That being said, the biggest fault in this is it does follow a formula.
Well, that's fine. So do comics. Mm-hmm. Comics follow
a formula. But it works, right? I mean, yeah, it's comic book exactly. origin story. So. Yeah, yeah.
By the way, the way they are able to do Dormammu, I wanted to call him Dormammu, but Dormammu, you're wondering, all right, well, how can they pull off?
Is that Benedict Wong? Is that the guy, the actor? Benedict Wong, the.
No, that's Wong.
Wong. Oh, shit.
You're Wong there, Scott. Yeah.
Sorry, Brian, I interrupted.
Two Wongs make it right.
Yeah.
No, the way they're able to do Dormammu is amazing, because in the comics, he's a dude with the arm of a flaming sweater on his face.
Wow.
And they're able to do what you see in the comics with the vertical ridges on his face in a way that is brilliant and pays homage to the comics, but doesn't look cheesy in the film.
Wow. I thought there was so much more tied to the comics than what we've seen in other.
Yeah, I think so too.
In other movies, at least from the aesthetics and from the look of everything.
Mm-hmm. Is the White Witch lady from Narnia in there? I can't think of her name. Tilda Swinton, she in it?
Yes, she's the ancient one.
Freaking love her.
Yeah, she's great in this too.
Okay, all right, I'm in. I'm going to see it. I'm going to indulge
crazy
myself.
Bald head.
Also in the news, printing 3D dungeon gaming terrain is what you're doing now. Mm-hmm. Tell me about this, because, all right, so I know that there's services like this, right? You can go buy a bunch of pieces and stuff, but I feel
they're expensive. I mean, there's some really are high quality, but I mean, if you're spending $120 for a set of like 10 items.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
And that makes me think that 3D printing is going to put those guys on the edge of forever, because they're going to get killed by 3D printing. But tell me about how this process is going for you.
So I just started doing it. There's been one that's on Thingiverse right now that I haven't tested yet, but I will soon. That'll be the next one that I look at from OpenForge.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of stuff out there. But the other one that I'm looking at is a system called Dragonlock. And this is one that you can buy through DriveThruRPG. You buy these and you can print out as many pieces as you need. And they have a really cool locking mechanism that ties them together. And they've got everything that you would need to build a classic underground dungeon with this. They even have some cool cavern type pieces that you can buy too. Mm-hmm. So when
walls
you say that,
floors,
yeah, walls yeah, and really floors cool. and pillars and steps and all this kind of stuff. The interesting thing about the DriveThruRPG stuff or that's being sold through DriveThruRPG, that's going to cost you anywhere from $5 to $25 for a set of these things. So for $5, you can get a bunch of basic sets. You won't get any doors, but you'll have walls and floors and stairs and a pillar and something else. And so that's a good way to get started. But then as you go up and you buy more, I think you're probably going to end up spending maybe $100 for everything that they offer. They have like, I think, 9 expansions right now for various things, including little miniatures. So they have some orcs and some lizard men and some other things that you can get in this stuff. As far as cost savings, I've had zero problems printing these off. I had some warping on the base, which isn't that big of a deal. I had 2 pieces that warped, which not a lot. That's probably about 5 cents worth of material lost. If you're looking at here's a good replacement for some of these other ones that are more expensive, I would agree, except that you already need a 3D printer, and of course you're going to have to buy the spool of filament. So, you know, I think a big spool of filament will give you enough, a large spool will give you enough to build an entire dungeon crawl for your needs.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And so you're at $44 there. So you're less than $100 minus your 3D printer, which you'll need. So that can be anywhere from, you know, $50 to several thousand dollars. But you can get into printing some of these elements very quickly and easily. Or I shouldn't say quickly, but you can get into this very easily. It takes about, for me, I'm doing it a nice slow print so that it'll come out nice. And these are highly detailed. Mm-hmm. It's probably taking about an hour per piece. So it's something you definitely want to plan ahead on. That's the other thing, is you need to build out a nice dungeon before you start printing, or else you're just going to start printing stuff willy-nilly and go, okay, what do I need?
Right, so, all of a sudden you've got, oh, I've got like 14 corners, but this room only needs four.
Yeah, it needs circles. I need a circle corner. Here's a request for the Frog Pants listeners for the TMS listeners.
All right.
I'm looking for somebody to come up with, not super complicated, but just a simple dungeon crawl plan. They can contact me at Major Spoilers, and I will print out that plan. And I don't want something that's like 15 feet by 20 feet. I'm not going to print that out. But, you know, something that you would run your friends through in a typical one-night dungeon crawl type event. And I will find one that looks really good, and I will print that out for the video review of this system that I'll be doing probably in a week or maybe a couple of weeks, because somebody has stepped forward and said, hey, I will paint those for you for free.
Something in like a layout and something like the...
like a dungeon layout.
Like 24-inch square maybe or something.
Yeah, something like that, 24 by 24.
Yeah, that sounds right to me. That's awesome. I'll bet somebody steps up. These people like this stuff, you know?
Yeah, they're pretty cool people.
So. Yeah, they're all right. They roll natural 20s all the time.
All the time. So it's so far so good with this system, but I'll have more of that in a review later on, but I'll let you guys know about that.
Well, there you go.
Cool. I almost want to print out a set of these or, you know, make a little display thing for...
If you've got some... That's what I've done right now. If I printed out four of the floors and four of the walls, mm-hmm. which you can get for free. Mm-hmm. And as well with the locking connectors. And I can use that just to display our 28 millimeter miniatures perfect, in front of that. So it's a great little display idea, too.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I was going to say something about Brian 3D printed a bunch of kind of polygonal looking Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. The low poly Pokemon. Yep. Yeah.
Badass, dude. They're so cool.
I was recalibrating my printer recently and printed one off, and somebody said, oh, if you're just going to get rid of that, I'll take it. I'm like, okay, fine.
They're a great thing for that. Yeah.
They are. Yeah.
Just doing a little test print. It's like under an hour or right around an hour.
20 minutes, 30 minutes, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so instead of just sending one, I printed out the whole line and I need to get those shipped off. But they're really cool.
Right. Super cool, man. Well, it's Steven Schleicher. A pleasure as always. Anything else happening on the site that you'd like people to keep their eyeballs glued to?
No, not really. Just check out the podcast that we do. Critical Hit is a big hit with everyone, so go check that out.
Critical Hit, everybody. Go check it out. It's critical that you hit it with
Critical multiple times. Download it 10 times today.
Major Spoilers on Twitter, of course. We'll talk to you soon. Bye now. Brian Ibbett, a final note.
Yes.
We have a friend named Len Peralta.
Fellow
artist and sometimes podcaster. It's been a while, I think, since he's really done. I guess he's got his makeup thing now that he does with, what's his name? Forgot his name. Frank Ippolito, whatever it is.
Oh, Ippolito?
I think so. Is
that it? From Face Off.
Face Off guy. Yeah, so that's going on. We know him. We knew him originally from, of course, Jawbone Radio with him and his lovely wife, Nora. We used to love that show. He's doing lots and lots of illustration these days, and he has a new comic book out that is a very personal look at him and his life. I would like to say sort of, I almost get like a Harvey Pekar kind of vibe out of it.
Very, very much so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kind of what it's like to be not just a artist and husband, but a father of seven kids and trying to make it work with this career of his and everything else. It looks really interesting. Go to LenPeraltaStore.com and check it out. We wanted to give him a little pimp.
For sure.
And check out his new very personal, passionate graphic novel.
Yeah, it's called Heel Cut, and it's really, really cool.
It's full of nudity.
It's a good read too. It's not going to take you forever, and but it doesn't feel like you're, you know, paying for something that's super teeny tiny. So good on him for doing such a great job.
And it has nudity. Nudity.
I'm going to throw out a quick plug too. We're 15 days away from the end of the
world.
sorry, yes, I'm kickstarting a spaceship to take a few of us to Mars.
Nice.
The Kickstarter for Jazzness, the jazz CD I'm doing with, or that really Andrew Allen is doing, and I'm helping promote and kind of get fulfillment and artwork and stuff together, including artwork from Mr. Scott Johnson. I premiered the T-shirt design and inside of the CD case design last week. So check it out. If you go to tinyurl.com/jazzness, we are 95% funded. So come on, get you know, a couple more people buying the digital copy. Is going to push us up over the edge. So go check it out at tinyurl.com/jazzness.
Nice.
Yes.
Please do that. In the meantime, don't forget, we are on the internet and available for all comers. For archives of the show and much more, go to patreon.com/TMS to support us. It matters much that you guys do that. Thank you so much to those who do. And we're here all week, by the way. All shows, all the time, happening every freaking day, including TMS PM. All thanks to patreon.com/TMS. We're streamed live every day at alphageekradio.com. It was good to see Todd over the weekend. I had breakfast with him on Saturday. That was nice. He had to leave early, but it was still good to hang out. What else? DiamondClub.tv. Big thanks to them as well. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. You can find us via email at themorningstream@gmail.com. And leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. If Twitter is your speed. Ow.
I dropped. Oh, don't play with scissors.
I know,
jeez.
I need to put these down.
It's like the worst thing you could be playing with right there, Scott.
Flipping around with scissors is the name of my running with scissors cover band. Anyway, 801-47, I already said that. Twitter, Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, Coverville. Those are the three Twitter names to keep in mind. That's going to do it for us. Right. I got some big stuff I want to talk about, but I'm not ready to announce it. So it's a little Johnson pull there. But a couple little tweaks to what we're doing on Slack and a little more involvement over there, some other stuff. Oh, cool. So we'll let you guys know in the coming days. That's it, Brian.
Yes, sir.
We have one job now, and that is to play music to leave with.
What and that's exactly what we're doing. This one isn't even a cover, but it's appropriate because it's funny in the chat room. After I'd even picked this song, I saw people in the chat room talking about how the Electoral College works, and it's so damn confusing. If only there were a Saturday morning cartoon series, a interstitial series that would explain how the Electoral College works. Oh, wait, there is?
Huh?
What? It was Schoolhouse Rocks the Vote? And wait, what? Somebody covered it in 1998?
What?
Spicy T and Sheehan covered it? Amazing. Yeah. This is Spicy, one of the greatest rapper names, Spicy T and Sheehan. And a cover that came out on a tribute CD called Schoolhouse Rocks the Vote in 1998. Here they are explaining how it all works. It's called Get to Know Your Electoral College.
All right. Vote, everybody. Vote your conscience. Vote the best you can. Vote the way you want, however you want. But please vote if you're here in these States United.
That's right.
Tomorrow is your last day. Some can do it early. Those who can't, you'll be like me. I will be on my polling day, Tuesday. Will be the big day for me. So
and no matter what the results, accept them. It's a democracy. That's what you signed up for.
No matter how hard that jagged little pill is to swallow,
exactly.
Accept it on either side, okay? All right. Here's your song. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Got to expand your political knowledge. Get to know your electoral college. The people who get sent to represent your vote for president. The electors. The political parties in each and every state appoint a slate of delegates who wait to be told what to do by you and your vote.
And your vote, see? So when you go into that booth at your polling place on election day to choose a president,
what you're really voting for is that group of electors.
Got it? Uh-huh. And the candidate who gets the most votes wins every elector in that state.
So even if A gets 49% and B gets 51, then B gets all the electoral votes and A gets none. And the winners go to Washington to cast their ballots. The electoral ballots for the candidate they represent.
Now the number of electors that each state gets corresponds to its members in the House and the Senate.
Big states get more.
Little states get less.
And the total number of electors in the country that a candidate has got to get to be elected president is 270.
That's at least 270 electoral votes.
And each and every state is winner take all. Got to expand your political knowledge. Get to know your electoral college. The people who get sent to represent your vote for president. The electors. It's the will of the people that the college seems to amplify, to put a brave face on a close race and try to make the difference between the winner and the loser seem larger. That's the intent of our founding fathers. So if the vote is tight and there's not a clear choice, still all the people of the state will seem to speak with one voice.
The majority rule.
There's no second place.
So even if A gets 49% and B gets 51, then B gets all the electoral votes and A gets none. So even if A gets 49% and B gets 51, then B gets all the electoral votes and A gets none. And each and every state is winner take all. Got to expand your political knowledge. Get to know your electoral college. The people who get sent to represent your vote for president. The electors. Now to win those elections, you gotta make selections on where to spend your time and your money.
So check across the nation for voter registration and step to the states with the big population.
Cause that's where the votes are. Electors the most are. The whole thing works like a video game where you take aim to claim a whole state as your own. And each and every state is winner take all. Got to expand your political knowledge.
Got it.
So get to know your electoral college. The people who get sent to represent your vote for president. The electors.
Oh, yeah. I probably should play this thing.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Shit!